TV.
If I look tired, it's because I am. If I look like I haven't gotten my hair cut, it's because I can't. Because my haircut lady can't get into the building. Because of, well, never mind. You know why. Yesterday, I told you that if there is a soulless body, there is a spiritual body also. Now, I'm going to show you how the King James has screwed up the translation of soulish. They made it natural. So we left off here. It is sown a soulish body, it is roused a spiritual body. If there is a soulish body, I am in verse 45 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. I have a reference here, and it says, see Philippians 3:21. I don't know what this says, but I'm going to go there. This is one of these high-risk live Bible studies. Don't try this at home, folks. I am a trained professional. Philippians 3:21. I have no idea what it says. Isn't it somewhere around the fact that our realms inherit in the heavenlies? We'll find out if I can find the book of Philippians. Ah, here it is now. I must have made this note 25 years ago, or this reference. Philippians 3:21. Ooh. Oh, am I glad I went here. Yes, it's starting with verse 20 and go to verse 21. 20 is where I thought it was leading, but 21 is the actual reference. This is good. For our realm is inherent in the heavens. That's where we as member of the body of Christ are going, because our realm is inherent there. Out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ. A Savior. Someone who saves. The same one who saved all humanity at the cross that we just read about in 1 Corinthians 15. The same one who by the power of his death saved all humanity. That same one is coming to save us. Well, why? How can it be that he's coming to save us? Out of which we are awaiting a Savior, He already saved us. Yeah, he saved us from sin and death, but now he's going to save us from the coming indignation. And that's good news for all the members of the body of Christ, but especially good news for us because we're staring down the barrel of the day of indignation. I think it's starting next year. This is 2020, so I think it starts in 2021. It might start gently, but we know what's coming with the global vaccination. Don't want to get into that. Out of which we are awaiting a Savior. You know what? He proved himself. Do we have any doubt that we are awaiting a Savior? It's not like, it didn't say we're awaiting our Savior, because that would, I think, harken back to the fact that he saved us from sin and death at the cross. But we read here that out of which we are awaiting a Savior. And A is in light face type, a Savior. So it's not in the Greek text. So we're awaiting Savior. That's how this literally reads in the Greek. Let me start this again. Oh my God. For our realm is inherent. It inheres in the heavens, not on the earth, out of which we are awaiting Savior. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, as sure as he went to Calvary to save us from sin and death, he is returning to the air, not to earth. He comes to the earth for Israel, comes to the air for us. The big difference between the second coming of Christ there and his coming, his secret coming. We're going to see the word secret in 1 Corinthians 15, his secret coming to us. The fact that Paul calls this a secret proves that it has not been revealed before in any other scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself because Paul's going to go from, I'll give you a hint, a preview. Paul is going to go from speaking of our bodies being transformed from soulish bodies to spiritual ones, guaranteed. He's going from that to explaining how it happens. This is loaded. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrection. Remember how it started? Some of the in Corinth were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. Paul said, are you kidding me? Not only is there resurrection of the dead, everybody's going to be raised. And he goes into details on that. Then he says, by way of guarantee, that if there's a spiritual body, there's a soulish body also. And I'm going to get back to that, and he's going to give the order. But not first the spiritual, but the soulless afterwards the spiritual. He gets into that. And then he's going to zoom in on the whole thing. Like you see a map, you see a big map, and then you see a zoomed up section of the downtown area of a certain city. Now we're going to get we're zooming in the telescope, and we're going to see the people that Paul's talking about, those who have a soulish body and a spiritual body, but those select people from the body of Christ, all humanity's in that fix of having a soulish body. Therefore, all humanity is in the, quote, fix, the reverse fix of having a spiritual body awaiting them. Spiritual body guaranteed for them. But now we're going to zoom in on a special people, the body of Christ, find out how their bodies are changed. We don't get that detail for the rest of humanity. The dead and small, they rise at the great white throne. That's all the detail you get about the dead, the great and the small, who rise at the great white throne at the crisis between eons 4 and 5. When heaven and earth have fled. No big deal. They just rise. But here, since we're the body of Christ and we're the next big thing, Paul, here and in 1 Thessalonians 4, goes into lavish, actually it's lavish, simple, yet profound detail about our change. All right, so let's go back to Philippians 3:21, because I was looking at that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, and I saw my cross-reference to Philippians 3:21, and I hesitated, like, should I do, sometimes these live Bible studies go bad. They go bad, and it's like, it doesn't happen the way I think it should happen. It's an old note that I know what I was talking about then? Yes, I did. And I know what I'm talking about now. Because I know where this is going. Our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure. This is a great word. Hang on with that one. Transfigure the body of our humiliation. This is a parallel passage. Now I see why I went here. It's why I made this cross reference. The body of our humiliation. That word is not used back in 1 Corinthians 15. So we're getting further look into the degradation that we're walking through every day. The words that are used are corruption, dishonor, infirmity. Corruption, dishonor, infirmity, oh my. Add to that I want you to add to that, if you can handle it, humiliation. The body of our humiliation. I remember I gave a talk on this in the 90s sometime, and I had a friend, I don't know if he's my friend anymore. His doctrine has gone a little wacky. Ted McDivitt. I haven't seen him in a while. What a great friend that guy was. Why, I should call him. Call him right now. No, I won't, but his dad, Bud McDivitt, a great man, and I gave a talk called These Bodies of Humiliation. And I talked about how our bodies humiliate us every day. And that's what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians 15. Because Paul is prefacing this great change with a great description of how inadequate we are now. And here it's more specific yet. These bodies of humiliation. That tells you that the humiliation you're going through is supposed to happen, because the definition of these bodies are these bodies of humiliation. These are not now bodies of glory. They're bodies of humiliation. And they humiliate us every day. I've told you, I get up in the morning and I'm trying to put on my pants and I'm hopping around. Sometimes I can't even get my leg into my leg hole of my jeans. And I'm hopping around. Sometimes I'm almost falling down. It's a clown show. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. And every time that happens, I look at the celestials and I say, are you enjoying yourselves? Do you like this? Is this fun for you? Because I know that they're amazed at us, because they know that we're coming into sonship, that we are going to be above them, we are going to judge them, and they're probably maybe smirking a little bit to think, this future ruler of the universe can't even put his pants on. Why? Because of this. The body of our humiliation. And I interviewed Bud McDivitt as part of my series. It was a 2-tape series. I was making cassette tapes back in the day. And he explained how his body, it was growing old. And our friend, Nelson Howe, I'm sure his body is humiliating him every day. It's betraying you, isn't it? Your body is betraying you. And people who get really old, bad things happen. They start to drool, and they their bodies are bent over. They lose their hair. They don't look so good. Bags under their eyes. Their features look skeletal, and this is a body of humiliation. But our Lord is going to transfigure the body of our humiliation. I guess I've got to go on this transfigured thing, because when our Lord was on earth in his body of humiliation, he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. That was it was called that, because he was changed. He was changed atomically. He was changed spiritually, and his whole vesture began to glow. And the disciples saw him standing on the mount with Moses and Elijah, who were then dead. But this was a vision, mind you, a vision of the future of Christ coming into his kingdom. It says later, Christ called it a vision later when he told the apostles, tell no one of this vision. And a vision is something that is not actually happening at the time. That's the definition of a vision in the scripture. So it was a look into the future of Christ coming into his kingdom. Anyway, that's how easy it is. God purposely had to work hard to keep his body humble, to keep his body of humiliation intact so that he could be further humiliated. This is what's happening with us. But by the same power that our Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured, we will also be transfigured. Unfortunately for him, he had to come back. He got transfigured for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. And then he had to come back to this crap. How would you like that? How would you like to be the Apostle Paul, who went into the third heaven, whether in a body or out of a body, he was not aware, and then had to come back? We are blessed, because when we are transfigured, we're not coming back. We're transfigured once for all time, and that's it. We're being changed. It's instantaneous. We're going to be changed from a body of humiliation. Let me start this again. For our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that also in there. It's like it references these two kinds of Saviors. He's the Savior of the world at Calvary, and he's our Savior as well. He's the Savior of our bodies. So the fact that we know what he accomplished at the cross, we know it's like a past history. We all know that it happened. It's historical, and it made us into members of the body of Christ. By that same power, that same Savior is going to save us. You see what I'm getting at? Save us from this wicked eon. It's that guaranteed. I never saw really the import of that word also. And it goes along with the light face A. It's not a Savior. We're awaiting Savior. He's a Savior in general. Okay, so he's a Savior in general. How is he a Savior specifically? And 2,000 years ago, he saved us from sin and death. Very soon, he's going to save us from the day of indignation. Out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of his glory, in accord with the operation which enables him even to subject all to himself. I'm not going to get past this. I'm not going to be going back to 1 Corinthians 15 tonight. So I'm just going to take my finger out of that page, because what I just read, I was tired when I came into this car. I felt like crap. I had to listen to the song Cars by Gary Numan. When did that come out? In the 80s? Because I knew I was going into my car. You know, here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live, in cars. Just to get myself psyched up. And then I saw this strange reference to Philippians 1:21. I come here and I'm camping here for the rest of the show. I haven't been here in a while. You want to know how guaranteed this is? I mean, this goes along perfectly with last night's point, that if there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual body also. The fact that you have this body that is ruled down by the soul is a guarantee that you will have a spiritual body in the resurrection. And now, we have the word will. Awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure. We're not going to look the same. It's going to be a different figure. I mean, Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration, apparently the disciples still recognized him as Jesus. I don't know. It might be that they just noticed that the same one that went on the mountain, that was their teacher. He suddenly was transfigured. So I'm wondering if the only reason they knew it was him is because this new being that was radiating light was standing exactly where he was. That's what I think now. And all the Bible books, right? You see pictures of Jesus Christ, my kids' Bible books, you know, Bible stories. I used to read them. And there's the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. He looks exactly like he does when he's walking around, except that he seems to be a little transparent. This is the Bible book rendition. And he's, of course, levitating somewhat. He has a glow about him. Kind of like a nuclear reaction going on there. But now I think that because of the figure, the transfigure, I think he took a totally different look. I didn't think he looked like a human being even at all, perhaps. I don't know. But the figure is changed. Change of the figure. And so our bodies, I don't think they're going to look like these bodies. That's what I'm getting at. They're not going to look like these bodies. And we know that when our Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul, he couldn't even see a body because it was so glorious. So what did it look like? We don't know for sure. Who will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it. Here it is. To conform. This is proves the fact that this figuring, transfiguring, is just like disfigure. This is the same root here, the same suffix, or the root word, yes, the transfigure. When something is disfigured, it means you don't recognize it anymore. So transfigure means you don't recognize it anymore because, not because it's been marred, but because it's been changed. You can't recognize, you don't recognize it anymore. Here's why. Who will transfigure the body of our human, will, I can't not emphasize that word, will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of his glory. He's going to conform, listen to this, he's going to conform in a moment. We're going to see, when I go back to 1 Corinthians 15 tomorrow, we're going to see that this is going to happen in an instant. He's going to conform it to the body of his glory, not the body that he had when he was walking on earth with the Israelites, with his disciples. Going to conform it to the body of his glory. It's not even the body that he was transfigured into on the Mount of Transfiguration. It is the body of his glory. But it didn't say on the transfiguration thing. It didn't say that that was the body of his glory. It just said that this was Christ having come into his kingdom. But here, the body of his glory refers to the light brighter than the noonday sun that blinded the Apostle Paul. That will be our body. That will be our body. Because it says here, in plain words, you know how I get after Paul sometimes for being a little obtuse. But listen to him here. He's not being that way now. Who will transfigure the body of our humiliation. This is what it is. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be shocked by it. To conform it to the body of his glory. How's he going to do that? How's he going to do it? Paul says it right here. In accord, this is the part that got to me. In accord with the operation. This is an operation. It's like the surgeon goes in and he's going to do something. He's going to take out a lung. He's going to put in an extra lung. I don't. He's going to sew the aorta to the left ventricle. He's going to transfigure something in the surgery. He's going to remove a diseased liver. He's going to do something. He's going to remove a brain. So he's going to transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of his glory in accord with the operation. This is a procedure. Christ looks in his procedural manual when it's time for the snatching away. Here's what we do, and here's the blueprint. Are you ready for this? This is the blueprint consulted hypothetically now, but by Christ right before the snatching away. What kind of operation am I going to use to transform these bodies of humiliation of these poor members of the body of Christ who remain to the coming of the Lord? What kind of operation? God will say to Christ, I tell you what, why don't we just use the same operation that enables you to subject everything to yourself? Oh, my God. Oh, Is that all? Just a little bit of power there. The power which enables Christ to subject all things to himself and then deliver up the kingdom to the Father? You mean that operation? Yes. It is in accord, that is, in perfect agreement with this this transfiguration is in complete agreement with, that is, it is according to the operation which enables him, enable, it's an active word, to be made powerful inwardly, to enable him even, and it's an extreme situation, even, it's an extreme word, like this is the end point, this is the terminus, this is the farthest that this operation can go, enables him to subject all to himself. So you can just imagine the kind of power in the operation that will enable Christ to subject all things to all creation, terrestrial and celestial and subterranean. All creation will be subject to him through the cross. That kind of power, that operation, the same blueprint, the same plan that will accomplish that is going to be used to change our bodies. So how you can see now that he's taken this plethora of power, this superabundance, overabundance of power that will be in accord with the operation that allows Christ to subject all to himself. He's going to take that power and he's going to use it to change our bodies. It's like, whoa, you don't need that much power. That would be like running a cord from a giant electric power plant, running a cord from that to your toaster and toasting your toast with the power from the power plant. Do you think your toast will get toasted? Yes, I think it will be. Do you think our bodies will be changed with a power that's in accord with the operation with which Christ will subject all to himself? I do believe. Yes, yes, I do believe. And yet, he's going to use that much power. It doesn't even take that much power. It would take a scintilla of the power that he's going to use to subject all to himself. All things terrestrial and celestial will take a scintilla to change a body. It seems like simple to me. It's like, boop, you're changed. So there's going to be power left over. So we won't be wondering, I wonder if he's enough power to change everybody. Will be some left behind? I will say to you, especially if you talk in that voice, will some be left behind? Will some members of the body of Christ not have enough power? Will he run out of power before he changes me? I'll point you to this verse. First I'll say, knock off that voice. We're done with that voice. Then I'll say, no. Because he's going to change you in accord. It's an operation. But it's in accord with the operation. The same operation that enables him to subject all creation to himself. That's the operation and that's the corresponding power. And that's what he's going to use to transfigure our bodies. And as we're going to see tomorrow night, it's going to happen in an instant. There's no way this is not going to happen.